Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT Photo with Catherine Hall, episode 12, recorded June 14th, 2011. Scott Kelby. TWiT Photo is brought to you by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/TWiT Photo. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies streamed to your PC, Mac, or TV instantly. Plus, get DVDs by mail in about one business day. For your free 30-day trial, visit netflix.com/TWiT. It's time for TWiT Photo! Yay! A brand new show, a brand new name, and a brand new host. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Catherine Hall. Nice to see you, Catherine.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
CatherineHallStudios.net.
Yes. No, CatherineHall.net.
CatherineHall.net.
Yeah.
Really?
Always throwing you. Well, there's CatherineHallStudios.com or CatherineHall.net.
Oh, it's so confusing.
I know. I do that on purpose.
Pull the microphone right into your face.
Okay.
And it's so good to have you. We should explain what's been going on is that Lisa Benny, who started this show, mostly Lisa, has become such a movie star with the success of First Camera Plus and now The Heist, both of which are number one selling apps on the App Store. And she's just very busy doing those. So we've told Lisa, whenever you would like to come by, please do be a part of the show. But you don't have to be here every week. Catherine was so great on the last couple of episodes.
Thank you. We really
were just thrilled. And we thought, and she very kindly has agreed, yes, I will be part of the show. So because it's mostly Lisa's trade is, you know, dress is mostly Lisa.com, we said we can't call it Mostly Photo, so we're going to call it TWiT Photo. And now you'll see Catherine's shining face on the cover of the artwork. And a new theme song, which Catherine and Dan Luters devised together.
I think Dan took
mostly it. Dan?
Yeah. I give him suggestions. But he was the brilliant one behind it.
But the show format's going to stay primarily the same. We will still have our contest for pictures. In fact, we have some winners this week. And we will still interview great photographers on the show.
Yes.
In fact, our first great photographer is here already. Let's say hello to Scott Kelby. Everybody knows Scott. Hey, Scott Kelby.
Leo, what a surprise to see you here.
We must stop meeting like this.
This is shocking. Shocking, I tell you.
Scott is the president of the professional, let me get this right, the Photoshop Professional National Association of Photoshop, NAP. I just noticed that. NAPP, National Association of Photoshop Professionals. Editor-in-chief of Photoshop User Magazine. And how many books have you written now on Photoshop?
Oh, 50-something.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I've been doing it a while.
Holy cow.
Many of them don't make any sense. They're just random words.
Do you have a favorite?
Lorem ipsum. A lot of lorem ipsum.
A lot of lorem ipsum.
I mean,
no.
Who really reads those things?
Actually, your books are... One of the reasons I really like your books is they're full of photos. And, you know, they're beautiful books that really have a lot of useful tips and information in them. You've just done a great job making...
Well, thank you, Leo.
They're very accessible, too.
In fact, thank you. That's why you're
content's
on.
Content's really easy to find.
Because this is how Catherine learned how to use Photoshop.
It is. This is how I learned to use Photoshop.
Catherine, you're my
hero.
You
saved me hours and hours and hours of time.
But you are awesome. Thanks.
Like, oh, I get stuck. Let me pull out the book.
I do
the same thing.
Scott's also done video podcasts on Photoshop.
Yeah.
You're no stranger to it. In fact, you have actually a nicer studio than we do. I'm not going to mention that, but.
No, I won't either.
You can even switch. You can even like do switching, right? You can like different shots and stuff in there.
You know, it's all done with a big iron thing. It's a big iron thing. It's very old fashioned, but it works.
Did you start as a photographer who learned Photoshop?
So I was a photographer first, film photographer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, I was a film photographer, and I was totally obsessed with it. And I think I got so sick of it that I literally, I'm not kidding, took all of my stuff and put it up in the attic and didn't touch it for 12 years.
Really?
Wow.
It wasn't until digital came and I picked up my first digital camera and that was it. I was completely relit. My passion was just, and then I'm loving it ever since. So, but actually I kind of got into this business through the back door, through graphic design. So I started as a graphic designer and was editing a lot of photos, and that's where I learned to use Photoshop back when photographers didn't really use Photoshop. Graphic designers used it to make photos look good for print. Right. So that's what my original gig was.
So what was it about digital that sort of rebirthed this passion?
It's free.
That's an illusion, Scott.
Catherine, I have the attention span of a hamster. And if I have to wait for film processing, I explode. Actually being able to take the picture and see it on the back of my camera and then putting it in my computer, I was like, I'm back. I'm there.
So are you more passionate about shooting or working in Photoshop or Adobe products?
It's tough because I kind of look at it as one and the same because a lot of my work does have to go to Photoshop. Well, a lot of my work has to go to Photoshop, but like some things, I shoot a lot of sports, and in which case I really can't do much. I can only sharpen it, so I don't really. But I always look at it as all one big thing: the processing and the editing as photography.
Why can't you mess with sports photos? Here's a great pic. You do a lot of great football photos.
Oh, thanks. Well, I shoot for a wire agency, and so basically they're like, you can sharpen it, you can crop it, you're done, because it's editorial and you really can't mess with it. So it's, you know, in those cases, a lot of times I don't even have time to do either one. I have to upload on like a halftime for an NFL game or something.
Right.
So there's very little Photoshop done there at all, if any. But with my own work, you know, and portraits, different things like that, I can shoot whatever. So I can. There are no rules if it's art.
Is there a team that you take a lot of pictures of, or I mean, do you? Work for?
Yes, the Chicago Bears. I shoot the Bears a lot.
Shots.
Yeah, I have friends on the Bears organization. And
I thought you live in Florida, Scott. What are you doing up north?
I do. But I fly to Chicago every chance I get. It's one of my favorite cities, and the Bears are kind of my adopted team. I'm in the Tampa Bay area, and so the Bucks are my home team.
Right.
My adopted team is the Bears. I adopted them just in time. They're starting to get really, really good. And went to the NFC playoffs. I shot the NFC playoff game.
What fun!
So yeah, it was a blast.
What fun!
Do you ever feel restricted because you can't? Being that it's photojournalism, you can't actually fix it if there's something in the background that's distracting. Is that ever hard?
I've come to peace with it, Catherine. I've gotten to the point where I'm like, well, okay. And it bothered me a lot at first because I'm like, oh, I could just take that out of there. And it's like, but you just can't. I mean, that's the rules. And so, you know, now I don't think twice about it. But for the first few games I shot for the wire service, I was gritting my teeth the entire time. I knew I could make the shots aesthetically better, but you can't change when you're shooting for a wire service, you're shooting news. You can't change the news, even though people do it. You're not supposed to, and I don't.
Yeah, I could never do it, photojournalism straight, just because of that reason.
Yeah, it drives me nuts. I mean, honestly,
I'm a perfectionist. So I have to go in there, and if something's out of place, I have to fix it.
Catherine, you would hate shooting sports.
Internal struggle would be for me to do.
You would move the ball just a little bit over.
A lot of people call me a photojournalist. I'm like, not exactly.
Yeah. So that's what I do a lot of times.
Oh, yeah,
when I'm
move
shooting,
the ball. That would be kind of bad.
I'll yell at the defensive end. Can you just move a little?
Turn your head.
I got a shot at the receiver.
Love the camera, baby. Turn your head.
Can you move the line slightly?
But I also see you do a lot of what looks like editorial. You do models.
Go to his
it's beautiful shots.
There's like
here.
A portfolio.
Yeah, we've been looking at it actually.
No,
yeah,
just click on
good, gorgeous.
Click
stuff.
On portfolio on the left.
Oh, there's even
shows,
more.
Those shots on the top are the ones that aren't good enough to be my portfolio.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, cool.
Which brings me to you
stupid stuff.
Which brings me to the fact that you really emphasize editing. And I think that's something that our viewers would love to hear about. Why is it so important for a photographer to be a good editor?
Well, I think the reason why is, I think that people's natural inclination is to share photos that they have a lot of great feelings for. You know, like I did a portfolio review for a guy one day, and he's showing me this picture, and it's just horrendous. It's like, what is this doing in your portfolio? It was like shot in the worst possible light. There was no subject. And I asked him, I said, what is it that you're seeing in this picture that I'm not seeing? He goes, oh, well, I was with my girlfriend. It was just this beautiful day. We were having so much fun.
Who
I'm like,
cares?
Oh, I love this one.
I don't see that in the photograph.
The next one over that glasses.
So I think it's really important to basically show just your best work. And you're not going to be there always to tell people, oh, in this shot, my girlfriend was here. We're having such a great day.
That's called a snapshot.
Yeah, they kind of have to stand on their own. So I guess that's kind of what why editing is so important. If you go to see if you go to the Nikon booth or the Canon booth at a big trade show and you see a photographer up there, they're only going to show their 24, 30, 35 best pictures.
Right.
That they've done for years and years and years and years. If you see a shot they took from Spain, it's one shot from Spain, not 36 shots that were kind of similar, taken really close. You know, here's one, here's one, here's one. So editing becomes a really, really important part, and only showing your very best stuff is very important.
So actually, I have a question that feeds off of that. I think photographers are notorious for being the worst editors of their own work because we, like, for example, if something, if an image is really hard to capture and we invest a lot into it, then we become attached and we want to keep it, even though it might not be the best image. So what are your tips for taking that out of the equation and actually getting the strongest body of work versus the images that you're attracted to most?
Well, I can tell you what I do, and I did it just as recently as yesterday. So yesterday I brought somebody whose opinion I trust in photography, Matt Kluskowski. I brought Matt into my office and I sat down and I said, I have to pick two photos out of this 1,100 that I'm not joking. 1,100. I need to pick two. And we went through the process of going through and narrowing it down and narrowing it down and narrowing until we finally got to the two images that I'm going to use for this particular project. But I think it's good to have people whose opinion you can trust and go, you know what? What do you think? Even if what I really should have done to help them out was narrow it down to probably 50 from each shoot and say, all right, out of this 50, you know, what do you think? He was kind enough to sit there and just, we weren't going through thumbnail after thumbnail, and we saw a good one. He'd say, well, let's look at that. Let's look at
that's
that.
That's kind of mean, you know, to have 1,000 as your initial edit.
I know. It was, I don't know what I was thinking. But
you
anyway,
wanted
he was
camaraderie, tremendous. Didn't you?
He was true. Yeah, I wanted to hang out. He's my buddy. So we went through and got down to the last two images. So I think a lot of times I'm sorry, I almost called you Lisa there. Catherine.
Sorry, I'll let it slide a couple times.
Yeah. Catherine. I'm going to call Elisa a few times too, so it's okay.
Sorry. You know when you've got the one. You go, that's the shot. That's it. And you know it when you take it sometimes.
I asked Bruce Dale once, the National Geographic photographer, 35 years. Yeah. I said, Bruce, how do you know a good picture? He said, you feel it. And he patted his stomach. He said, you feel it right here. You feel it in your gut. You just, I think he felt like there was a physical reaction when he saw a photo that he liked.
Did you experience that?
I've been trying ever since.
Yeah. Yeah, I get really nauseous when I see that.
See, that's my problem. Is I get that feeling. I'm like, oh, I just nailed it. And then I take it back to studio and I'm like, isn't this one so great? And then all my studio manager, my assistant, all they're like,
you listen to the people too much.
That one's not so good.
Should you listen to other people or trust your gut?
I think it's really important to, with editing, I ask a lot of people because I believe in what Scott's saying. It's really important to show your best work. And so I like to almost take the subjectivity out of it. And what I mean by that is I'd rather show 5 images that pretty much everyone loves than 10 images that 80% of people love. Does that make sense?
That's it. That's it. That's what editing is all about right there. You got it.
Yeah.
That's it.
So sometimes you have to ask people.
You use light in a great way. In fact, when I looked at the fashion photography especially, and this is on Scott's site, ScottKelby.com, and this is his portfolio stuff. I think for these kinds of model shots, lighting is everything, isn't it?
Well, it's kind of, it's the fun part of it for me. If you're going to be in a studio especially, I love to work with light. And I hate to say it for the fashion stuff, but the fashion stuff is really, the lighting part is very, very simple. It really is finding phenomenal models and great outfits and great accessories. And in many of the shots that you see, I've actually hired a fashion stylist that actually is on the set with me that not only like sometimes chooses the models even, but will find the outfits and the clothing and the whole nine yards, put everything together. So all I have to worry about is the lighting and the photography, and that makes your job a lot easier.
I'm looking at, for instance, at this one in the middle with the big watch. There's definitely you're doing a halo here. There's some stuff going on. You're playing with the lighting. Same thing. This is one Catherine really likes. This model with the sunglasses.
Yeah, that's a ring flash. So all I have on there is one single light. It's a ring flash that wraps actually around the barrel of your camera. So it actually fits right over here, and you fire straight onto your subject. And what it does is it creates literally a halo around them. It's almost like a glow. If you look at that shot, there's almost like a kind of a shadow on the background. See that little glow around her? Mm-hmm. That is not added in Photoshop. That is the effect that the ring light actually creates.
It's a neat effect.
How many lights are you, if you say on average with your fashion shots, how many lights are you incorporating?
One main light usually on the subject, occasionally two. And if I have to light the background, a third. But normally I try to do, I like very, very simple lighting. So it's one or two lights most of the time. I don't like to put up three and four lights. I think you just start putting up three or four lights. I'm like, I'm over lighting this.
Right. So
one or two lights usually will do it.
But you work with McNally a lot. Doesn't he bring out a ton?
Okay, he does, but he's a magician. He's from another planet.
He is a magician.
He's alien. He uses more flashes than I've ever seen in one place.
I didn't know if anyone could even own that many flashes.
I know, because you know what it is? Like one of these little flashes, they're $460 a flash.
Yikes.
And the studio strobes that I use are $560. And McNally has about 60 of these. Wow. He has them, like when you're riding around with them, they fall out of his car and they're in his glove compartment. I mean, they're like, oh, what's this? Oh, it's a flash. I mean, he's on another planet. I kind of set him aside like he's off in this world over here. And then I'm way over in this other place. So he's like, you know, he's alien. I don't know where he came from. Something to do with the pyramids, though.
Scott Kelby is here. He is at scottkelby.com, the Photoshop Insider. 50-plus books on Photoshop. Many, many great pictures. KelbyTraining.com for his training. He's the editor-in-chief at Photoshop User Magazine, the president of the National Association of Photoshop Professionals. And we're going to get some tips from you, Scott, in just a little bit if you hang in there.
I'm hanging, baby.
The books are nothing but tips, really. That's what I love about Scott's work. You just learn so much. Before we do much more, though, I do want to mention our friends at Audible.com, our fine sponsor for this show. You've heard me talk about Audible. You ever listen to Audible books, Scott? Are you familiar with?
Absolutely. Yeah, sure.
Who doesn't?
Awesome.
Who doesn't love Audible?
No, they're incredible.
I just finished. I'm listening to a trilogy right now, which means it's very long. But, you know, it's funny because I used to look for long books when I had a 2-hour-a-day commute, sometimes 3 or 4 hours a day. Even though I'm only driving 15 minutes at a time, getting to the car, you know, the carpool or driving to the gym, I still listen to these long books because I love to get engaged. And these books become kind of, you live this life. So I'm listening to Peter F. Hamilton's Void trilogy. Now, if you like sci-fi, it's fantastic. But here's the beauty of Audible. All kinds of books. You like Tom Clancy? His newest has a new hero, ex-Navy SEAL. There's a new James Bond novel. So thrillers are great. Here's a Samuel L. Jackson kids book.
Do you ever stay in your car because you're engaged in the book?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
The driveway phenomenon. This is one not for the kids. Go the F to Sleep. Narrated. Oh, I'm just going to, you know. Apologize.
Oh no!
If there are bad words in here, we'll just bleep them out.
No chance of that.
The album art looks so innocent.
It's free, by the way. If you're an Audible member, yeah. I gotta.
How come some of them are free?
All the kids from daycare are in dreamland. The froggy has made his last leap.
This is the Pulp Fiction of children's books.
No, you can't go to the bathroom. You know where you can go?
Okay, we'll stop right there because I know what the next line is. Oh, you gotta love Audible.
That was a nice catch, Leo.
I knew it was next. Audible. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. You go to audiblepodcast.com/mostlyphoto. Not TwitPhoto, Mostly Photo, the old name. audiblepodcast.com/mostlyphoto. And you'll be signing up for the gold account. You'll get a book a month, but the first month is free. So the first book is free, and you get to keep it forever. You can cancel it any time. So essentially, you're getting a free book and so many great books.
Wait, does he actually have that book?
What?
Of course we have this book.
Wait a minute. You got it?
Wait, are you joking?
I have two kids.
Oh, yeah. Have you read that to your kids?
I'd like to do a dramatic reading from it for you. Eagles who saw through the sky at redrest and the creatures who crawl, run, and creep. I know you're not thirsty. That's as much as I can read.
Yeah, you can't read that line either, can you?
Yeah.
Go the heck to sleep.
It gets bad after that.
That's so funny. So it's...
kids are in bed before you read them this bedtime story.
It's probably...
I can't believe it.
Do you read it to your kids?
No one reads this to their kids. Have you ever read it?
Why do you actually have the book?
All the kids from daycare are in dreamland. The froggy has made his last leap.
He's the perfect reader.
Hell no, you can't go to the bathroom. You know where you can go? The f*** to sleep.
I want this book. Anyway, that's good free stuff. If you're already an Audible member. Look at this. Wicked Plants, the weed that killed Lincoln's mother and other botanical atrocities. Yes, horror as well as fiction here. Plants behaving badly.
It's a good book.
You've read that too? You are so...
Watch out. He's going to hold it in his hands in a second.
You're so literate.
I don't even read. I don't need it anyway.
Who needs to read? We just listen. That's right. Audible.com. I want you to try it.
I can't read. Are you kidding me?
No, I know. Who has time?
I haven't looked at a computer screen for 15 years. I could barely make my way to work in the morning in my car.
So, actually, when you're retouching, do you listen to books or do you listen to music? Or what do you do while you're retouching?
Well, that's a good question.
I sob quietly. I can't believe I'm having to do this retouch. No, you know what it is? I found this. If it's an instrumental, I can listen to it. If it has words, I start singing it, and my productivity goes in the trash. Oh. So if I put on Journey, for example, with catchy phrases and tunes, you cannot stop singing.
Stop editing, Scott Kelby. You gotta remove that red eye.
Retouching in a lonely world.
What do you listen to, Catherine? Do you listen to music?
Oh, I listen to music really loud. Like,
it's funny, different photography studios have different mores, and some really do pump the music.
Oh, I listen to house music, like full on.
Like dance music.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, and I sing, Scott. It's scary.
Boom. I only do that. I only play it loud if I'm doing crack. So if I'm doing crack while I'm retouching, then I put on 50 Cent and just let it roll. But most of the time, it's just heroin, and I just like to keep it low, James.
Oh, stop Taylor. It. People
are
going to believe
you. Are
you
calling me out on my tendencies?
I'm kidding.
People
I'm kidding.
Are going to believe you.
When I'm reading this book.
Yeah. Oh, no. God only knows what he's on that one. So let's get Scott's tips. You've put together, as we ask all of our photographers, you put together three tips, three things to think about.
I do.
To get a great photo.
I'm excited about, actually, the first one.
Me too.
You know, because this runs, I run into this where I'm on aperture priority or some sort of automatic setting, and then say I'm shooting something that's backlit, and all of a sudden the auto section settings are no longer, I don't want it to be right on. So what are your tips when the auto function for the camera is not exactly what you want?
Okay. Well, there's. I'm going to show you a little thing to do in the camera, because a lot of times what happens is the camera tries to make the best exposure it can. All right. Now I shoot primarily in aperture priority mode.
Me too.
Unless I'm in the studio. If I'm using strobes, I switch to manual. But 99% of the time, I'm in aperture priority mode.
Especially for things like sports, where you know.
Oh yeah.
Or do you use shutter priority for something like that?
Aperture
really?
Priority wide open. I turn that thing wide open.
The widest lens. Yeah.
Yeah. I never. In fact, I'll be shooting all day long. I never touch my f-stop the entire day.
Because to get a shot like this, you've got to have a high enough shutter speed, 500 or probably at maybe 250 to 500, so that you could freeze the action like that.
So are you at 2.8 for this?
I'm a thousand. I'm a thousandth of a second.
A thousand. Okay.
That's the slowest I want to go. So I'll raise the ISO and stuff, but I don't touch the shutter speed or my aperture the entire football game, any sports. It's set it and forget it.
Well, what's your aperture?
The depth of field here is great. So the crowd is exactly what you want, which is kind of blurred out. You wouldn't want them to be perfectly focused.
It's f2.8.
2.8.
Is the aperture, yeah.
So how many of these are actually in focus? What percentage? I'm serious.
Quite a lot, thank you very much.
So that's because you shoot Nikon.
Oh.
I'm guessing.
There's Canon shooters all around me. Yeah. You know what it is? It's the focus mechanisms, honestly, on today's lenses are very, very good. It's not like I'm a focus genius. I do set up the camera to where, I have a best chance of, success going through the menus and setting up, continuous mode and how short my release is going to be and things like that. But, I mean, honestly, the cameras do such a great job these days. If you have a really nice lens, they track phenomenally well. So I don't want to take any credit for them being in focus. I'll blame it all on my equipment.
And this is a 200 millimeter lens?
That is a 400. 400 f 2.8, yeah.
That's like a $100 million lens.
It's one of those ones where it was so expensive I had to ask my wife to buy it for me because I could never buy it for myself. So I'm like, honey, it's Christmas. Can you get me this lens? If I have to buy this lens, I will kill myself. So that's the secret to getting expensive lenses is having someone buy it for you. It's not going to be probably a friend. You'll have to ask a spouse.
A lot of money. And the reason I said Nikon is because I think a lot of shooters who do sports, you see those Canon gray lenses everywhere at sporting events.
Yeah.
But I always thought that Nikon was better for fast focusing. For those kinds of urgent, well, you know,
I have a focusing problem.
I do too.
I'm going to blame the camera
the same way.
Sure, why not?
Scott Bourne always told me because he takes a lot of bird photos that he has to shoot Nikon. You don't think that's necessary anymore?
You know what? I can't really say. I haven't shot enough Canon at. I've done one NFL game with a Canon rig. It was fantastic. I love the shots. I love the camera. So I don't have enough to say I've done them both, and I can unequivocally tell you the Nikon's faster. Now, I can tell you this. I haven't even heard that before.
Oh, okay.
So it may or may not exist. The answer really is I have no clue.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's the honest truth.
These are just great shots.
What percentage of the time are you nailing the shot, like the ones that we're seeing?
Look at that.
I mean, like that, for example.
How do you get that shot? That's incredible.
Is that one out of 1,000?
No, I just took one frame and left the stadium. I took that one shot.
I knew it.
Wow,
you're a liar, too.
My work here is done. No, so you have to realize I'm shooting continuous a lot. So right. Let me just kind of set up my camera for continuous here. So
is that a D1?
This is a
D3, rather. Say again?
A D3S.
D3S, okay.
Yeah, so let me just set this up here. So if I'm shooting a game, you know, and I see, you know, a receiver catch the ball.
Oh my gosh!
I'm panning right with him.
Do that with
a camera. I'm taking a whole lot of shots.
So I just realized what happened to the tip.
Film's free.
We got a bunch. As you said, you knew this would happen. We got a bunch of tips in that one.
Wait. So going back to using the exposure compensation.
Yes. Okay. So here's the deal. So this is what I do. The most important thing, and this is on Nikons and Canons, and I'm sure other cameras, I'm not sure that they make any other cameras, but between Nikons and Canons, what you do is you go in here and you turn on your highlight warning, or it's called a clipping warning. And what it will do is basically when you take a shot and your camera thinks it's okay, but you look and the sky is completely white, or something's totally blown out, it will actually blink at you. It'll say, you've trashed this picture. In other words, things have gotten so bright in the photo. That there will be no pixels whatsoever. There's no pixels there.
So what do we do?
It's on a piece of paper. This is what you use exposure compensation, which basically what that says to the camera is, okay, you did your best, and I'm looking on the back of the camera, I disagree.
Right.
This looks like crap.
Right.
So what you're going to do is you're going to turn on exposure compensation, and what you're going to do is you're going to go override what you did, and I'm going to shoot the shot again, and I'm going to move my little dial down 1/3 of a stop. Now, on a Canon, you know the little circular dial, you do it there.
I do it there. Yes, right.
All right. So then you take the shot. Then you look again. If the sky is still blinking, you have not compensated enough. So then you move it down another third. Take a shot. So now I'm down 2/3. Look. Ooh, I'm getting close. And then you move it down one more. Bang, I'm dead on. Then, and that's how you're going to get, I think, a lot better looking photos. I just was on vacation with a couple that are friends of ours. And the woman that was with us, our friend Marcia, she says, I want to take better pictures. Can you show me one thing? And I said, learn exposure compensation. And now, she did that. She learned it. And she said, oh, my gosh, at the end of the trip, this changed everything. I got the best shots I've ever gotten with that one tip. So that's one thing I think it helps you beat your camera.
Now, as with any rule, there are exceptions. Look at this shot.
If you'd
done exposure compensation to that shot, you wouldn't have got it.
No, honestly, that one was one of those ones. I'm down on one knee. This is at the NFC Championship game. They were warming up, and then they're heading back to the locker room right before the game.
Awesome.
And the fact that it was totally blown out, I thought really made it cool.
Yeah, I don't know why this works, but
it really works.
I don't know why it works either. But it's and also now I've also applied an effect to it that gives it that exaggerated it too.
Right.
That is the bleach bypass effect from a plugin for Photoshop called Nick Color Effects Pro 3.0.
Love Nick stuff.
So what is your favorite plugins? If you were to
say. It is Nick Color Effects Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. Love Nick.
I was on a desert island and you let me have one plugin. Nick Color Effects Pro 3.0.
They also do a great monochrome effects. The silver effects are just beautiful.
That's my second favorite.
And for people who are going to start looking for this on the web, it's NIK software. Yep.
Absolutely.com.
And I agree with you. I bought all of their effects. They have just really great stuff. They do an HDR thing that I haven't seen yet or tried. That's new.
So that was my tip. Hey, I have a studio tip I can do. Do you want a studio tip?
Another tip from Mr. Scott Kelby.
I want to hear your soft light tip.
Okay, so my soft light tip is this, and basically it's three tips in one. It's like, so people buy a softbox and they go, so this will make my light softer, which, well, technically it does, right? It makes it somewhat softer. But the idea is, how do you make it really, really soft? Because I hear people say, I have a softbox, but my images don't look beautifully soft. Well, the first trick is you need a really big softbox. If you buy a small softbox, it's not going to do the trick.
Is this a softbox? Is this a softbox shot?
That is actually a natural light shot. He is sitting on a horse. Is a cowboy. That's a cowboy on a horse.
That's actually in the field, but that looks like it's got that great.
That's in the field.
Are you on a ladder or something on this one? That's are you freakishly tall?
No, I was down. He's up on a horse, freakishly. And that was fake light. But the deal is, when you get in a studio, is to get a big softbox. Now, 39 inch by 39 inch is the one of the ones that I use. If you can get bigger, I have up to a 72 inch, but bigger is better. So I'm going to give you three tips. Tip number one: have a big softbox. The bigger the softbox, the more beautiful the light. Okay, that's tip one. Tip two: the big secret is to get the softbox very, very close to your subject. Really close. By the way, do you care if I show? Can I show you?
Not only can you, you must, because I want to know what you're talking about. Oh, he's getting up.
Follow me.
But oh my God, he's just showing off now. Now he's just showing off. Look at this. We've got another.
I think I might switch over to his side.
Scott's got a better studio than we do. Look at this. All right. He's wireless. Oh my God, he's got a model in there.
What luck. There's a model in the studio.
Wow, all this right, is so everybody, impressive.
This is Nellie. She's going to help us out here because we have professional models just hanging around the studio all the time. Hi, Nellie. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
All right, so here's our softbox over here. So I'm going to take a shot with it, and look how far the softbox is from Nellie. So I'm right here, and Nellie is way over here. So we're pretty good distance from the softbox. This is the 39-inch softbox I was talking about. So there's a pretty good distance from the softbox and my subject. Let's go ahead and take a shot. I'm going to grab this camera over here. And let's go ahead and take a shot. Now, I'm tethered directly into Lightroom, so you'll be able to see the shots as I take them. So let's go ahead and take a shot of Nellie. Let's start off. All right, here we go. All right, Nellie, look fabulous. Let's see.
By the way, I'm totally being owned by this. You understand?
Okay. So, Nellie, this isn't a good shot, but it's not me. I'm very good. This is you. No, I'm totally kidding. So take a look at the light here on screen. Can you see that?
Yeah, it's really soft. It's beautiful.
It is. But it's not as soft as you'd think you would get from buying a softbox. So. Right. How close should I get this softbox? Here's what I would really do in the studio. And since I'm really in the studio, I'm going to
do it. Do it. This is amazing.
I know.
Out right there. Okay. I will get the softbox as close as I can to her, because the closer I get this softbox to our subject, the softer and more wrapping the light's going to be. Now, here's what happens. When the softbox is way back here, it's this big. As I move it closer to Nellie, it gets bigger and bigger. But one other thing happens too. It gets way brighter. So I'm going to have to turn down the power of this light, because I moved it closer to her. The quality of the light, the softness of the light got much better. But the power also got way brighter.
Right.
So I'll take a shot to show you. It's going to blow out. But let me just kind of move this right here. All right, Nellie, are you ready to look fabulous? Because I already look fabulous, but let's see how you do here. You're a professional, though, so I'm not too worried. Here we go. Let's take another shot, just like we had. Very nice. Looks good. All right, now, let's take a look at the difference. It's going to be very, very bright. It should be, like, completely blown out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I didn't change any settings, but just moving it that much closer. So let's do this. I have a control here on the top of my camera that lets me take it down. Let me switch to group one, which is the front light only. And then we're going to take it down. Every time I press this button, it goes down by 1/10 of one stop. So I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Scott, is this preferable to changing the camera's aperture? Is to change the lighting in the light?
Well, I'm at an aperture I like. I'm at f/10.
So you want to keep that aperture?
Yeah. So I kind of want to keep that. Okay. So I just dropped it down by 2 full stops. Now I'm going to switch it back to on to all. And let's see. Now this is just taking it down 2 stops. I might have to take it a little lower. Let's just take a quick look. Same thing. There's Nelly. Perfect. Great. Let's see what we've got. I think I'm going to have to take it down a little bit more than that.
This is a great setup, by the way, for a photographer to have this wireless right into
much closer.
Yeah.
It's still a little bright. I'm going to take it down a half more stop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It gives you actually an audible beep to let you know. But the beep is turned off. My assistant just told me. So let me take one more shot, Nelly. I think we're almost there. All right. So let's take a shot. Boy, Nelly takes a good picture, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
All right, let's see. All right,
much
there we
better.
Go. Now,
oh, there you go.
I have one third tip for you. If you really want, I need the ultimate soft light.
Yeah.
We're going to do a thing called feathering. And all you do is you're actually going to put Nelly to where just the very back end of the light hits. So right now, she's right where the light is. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn the softbox sideways. So the light really is no longer aiming at Nelly. It's aiming this way, and she's just going to catch the very edge of the light. So let me just kind of move it just so she catches the edge of it, right about maybe there. Let me see from where your camera angle is how that looks. Yeah, that looks pretty good. So she's got just the edge of the light. This will give us the softest, most beautiful light. Let's take a shot. All right, here we go. And let's see. That looked good, Nelly. Let's see. Soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's gorgeous.
Wow. Very, very nice. All right. How about a hand for Nelly, guys?
Yay. Woo! Congratulations.
So, thanks, Nelly. Hey, Scott.
Awesome, Nelly.
So, right. Would you say that as far as if you want to go soft, the closest the light, as close as you can get while it's not in frame?
Yeah. That's the key. You have to kind of keep it out of the frame, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's what I try to do.
Wow.
There you go.
Okay. We've been totally pwned here by the amazing Scott Kelby. By the way, if you like this stuff, this is what Scott does at his site, kelbytraining.com. You could see he's got about the best setup in the business, and really it makes a difference in the quality of videos you can get. I'm so impressed, Scott. That's awesome.
And speaking of portraits, I know I'm really excited about your next book that's coming out, the Retouching Portraits book. I was wondering if you could give our viewers a sneak peek at some tips, just one maybe or two.
I could. If this laptop actually had Photoshop on it, this is a stunt.
It's not real.
It's a stunt laptop. It's not, my laptop is over in the studio.
Oh.
This is a stunt laptop.
I think we'll just have to bring you back.
All I brought was like photography stuff, flash stuff, you know, like how to use your flash actually as a fork.
I'll tell you what, Scott, let's give you a break. We're going to take a break for a commercial, and we'll come back with more of amazing. The stunt laptop even flies. Look at that.
No, this is real.
The real laptop with Nelly. Yeah. I could do a retouching tip when you come back, because by then they'll have figured out some way to broadcast this.
If they can't, it's okay, because you've already blown my mind. I don't want to be completely humiliated here. Scott Kelby, ScottKelby.com, KelbyTraining.com. That's where they make these videos. You subscribe yearly or monthly, and you could really see some amazing stuff. He was talking about Joe McNally and his lighting technique. There it is right there. Really, really great stuff. Puts us all to shame. Wow. I'm blown away. That's pretty amazing. Did you know he was going to do that?
Me?
Yeah.
No. Oh, actually, no. I orchestrated the whole thing.
You knew he was going to jump up and walk around?
Catherine was on the phone. Scott, let's
Yeah, we
got to
do something. We got to throw Leo tomorrow.
Boom, blow it up.
By the way, you were talking about softboxes. We are going to use softboxes in the new studio for video as well. And it's exactly the same for video. As close as you can get it without getting in the frame. That's
it's
what
nice,
you want.
Great beauty lighting.
Yeah.
I think I need a nice big softbox.
You will have
right
a softbox in the new studio.
So when I get more attractive in the next studio,
Scott, what do you think?
Know why.
I think she's
Catherine,
pretty.
Catherine, that's impossible. You look fantastic.
I was going to let Scott do the cheese.
He did well.
He did great. Very accomplished.
I sliced it right up.
This portion of our brand new show, Twit Photo, is brought to you by our friends at Netflix, another company that I know you all know about. Netflix is, of course, the great place to get DVDs by mail. They've been around. I've been a member since 2000. I was looking on my Netflix account since November 2000, and I've just loved it. You know, you have a queue of movies you want to see. You can add movies at any time to it. You get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 8 discs at a time. Watch the movie. Take as long as you want to watch it. Once you've watched it, you pop it in the mail. They got a prepaid mailer. You've seen those red envelopes. And they'll send you the next one, and it'll arrive in as little as 1 business day. But let me tell you, is he taking pictures of me?
He's doing cheesy smiles.
He's doing cheesy pictures. Smiles.
I can see why Beauty and the Beast is your favorite movie. Did you know that about him?
No, I didn't. let's see if Beauty and the Beast is on here, actually. B-E-A-U-T-Y. This is Beauty and the Briefcase. That's one I've never heard
of.
It's
a tale as old as time.
Yes, it is. So one of the beauty, yeah, as a matter of fact, you can watch Beauty and the Beast, the TV show. Ooh,
okay,
this was good.
That wasn't the one. It's the Disney Beauty and the Beast.
This is good, though. Did you ever see this? This is actually a good show. So they've got a lot of TV seasons on here. Let me see. You want the special edition Beauty and the Beast?
That's, is that the one, Scott?
That's DVD. That's the Disney animated from 1990.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. So that's DVD. Not all of their movies are on Watch Instantly, but I have to tell you, enough are. In fact, a lot of TV shows, too, that, frankly, I've had my DVDs for about 6 months because I just watch movies. Isn't it funny? Look, they just got
I'm all in on Netflix. I am so in. I watch it on my Apple TV.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. On your Roku box, your Apple TV, your Google TV, of course, on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360. Even the Nintendo Wii, you can watch movies instantly, and it's just nothing like it.
Did you have me on because I use all of your sponsors' products? Is that really why I'm here?
Yeah, actually, we have our sponsors on because we
use Audible. I have a Netflix account.
You know, actually, to be honest, it's actually a problem for us because we're advertising products that every single person who watches already has. So it's kind of crazy. But this is how we do it. We got a 30-day trial. Maybe mom and dad don't know about Netflix yet, or maybe your friend from college. Who doesn't know about Netflix?
Yes.
Find out and then tell them, hey, go to netflix.com/twit. You could try it absolutely free for 30 days. If you decide you like it, there's some great deals. And in fact, I give my mom a gift certificate. So you might, if it's somebody you really like, you might say, hey, see if you like this, try this. And if they say, boy, I really like that, they've got a great gift certificate system. So they just kind of... You can give them a gift certificate and buy a gift subscription, and then they get Netflix, and it's kind of magical. It's kind of the gift that keeps on giving. I can tell you right now, better than the Cheese of the Month Club, okay? It's the Movie of the Month Club. Netflix.com/twit. Give it a try, free, for 30 days. We thank them for their support of Twit Photo, our brand new show with the great Catherine Hall, catherinehall.net. That's her website. She's got a contest going on right now. You could win an amazing $500
nice
low pro
bag.
Yeah. Now, how do they do this? They go to your Facebook page?
Yeah. Well, no, it's actually a separate page for...
Just for the contest.
Just for the contest. And they have to upload a self-portrait. And we're going to judge
it.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Yeah. A lot of people like this page, including me. If you want to participate, where do you go? You go to facebook.com/Catherine Hall Studios. And you'll have to submit a self-portrait, and then you could win a low-pro bag, the really big, nice one with the wheels.
Maximum. Wheels are key. I'm telling you, those
wheels. Yeah, I have the one without the wheels. And the problem is it's a really big bag, so you can actually get it to like 50 or 60 pounds, and boy, do I regret that. Hey, we've got a great picture from Scott. I'm going to show this picture. And Scott, this is on Scott's blog, scottkelby.com. This is part of his portfolio. And we thought we'd ask you to talk about the making of this particular picture.
All righty. Well, it's surprising to a lot of people when they find out that picture is actually lit with just one softbox.
What?
Yes,
really?
It is actually lit with one little flash head. The flash head itself, as I'm not exaggerating, is this big.
Okay,
it's got a battery power. It's got a battery pack about the size of this camera.
Wow.
Turned horizontal, turned vertically like this. So it's a battery pack this big, has a little cable coming out to a flash head. And I'm not exaggerating. You can put the flash head when you're done in your pocket.
Wow.
Now, It has an adapter that lets me use a big softbox. So the softbox that you saw me use in the studio is a 39-inch. So this one's a little bit bigger. It's a 53-inch, and it's shaped like an octagonal. So it's called a MIDI Octa. So it's not the really, really big one, but it's the little one. And I just literally back it off. So the secret is, when you have to light a group like that, especially since you didn't have to worry about making the group look very soft, they would be angry, is to back off. So do you see the airmen on the far left?
Yeah, I mean, so it's really great. Their faces are well lit, and you had such a bright background. You had to do some fill, right? I mean, that's...
So here's what happened. So the softbox is just to his left. Okay. So I, you know what? If you'll give me 1 second, I can actually show you the production picture of it being done here. I'm going to pull it up on my computer in just a moment. But... there's the softbox here. So, yeah, here's the softbox. It's just going to appear on the set magically, as so many things do. Here's the softbox right here.
Wow. But
that's it.
You put a flash in that.
Yeah, right here in the little back. In the back, wow. It's right there. You put a little flash head in there. It's very, very small. Oh, I'll show you. I have the flash. Things keep appearing here magically. It's great. So Brad Moore is my full-time photo assistant. He runs our studio here at Knapp's headquarters. So here's the little pack. So this is the pack. It weighs nothing. So this is what powered the shot. And this is the flash head. Now, we put a little reflector on it. There's a tiny little reflector on the front, but you don't need that. But this has the adapter on it, and you can hook this to that softbox, this little tiny thing. So if you want to shoot in the field, it's absolutely ideal. So this is in my camera bag. This is in my camera bag. This is in my camera bag.
Oh, they have to sleep.
All right. So now... give me just a moment, because I think I have here the actual production shot from that. So, and they'll be able to switch over to my computer here in a moment. They tell me. Let me just see real quick. I don't have it right. Where is it? Right.
So you want to tell us a little story about who these guys are and
I want to know about the sky,
they are,
too.
They are U.S. Army Black Hawk rescue helicopter pilots. Wow. So they go and rescue people. So they're kind of a medevac unit almost for the U.S. Army. And they're based in Florida. And now I will tell you something about this photo. So it was you were about to see a storm break out like you cannot even imagine.
Right.
The storm literally was just going to get crazy here in a second. In fact, so you'll see, here's the production picture. Let me just show you. If they'll switch to my screen. So here's the production picture.
Just one light and one flash of the soft.
There is. That's me down on one knee.
And the sky doesn't look quite the same, Scott.
Not quite.
Well, no, now you got to realize, this is not lit by flash. The production picture you're seeing is lit in aperture priority mode.
Natural
There's
light.
No flash going
right.
off.
Right.
And it's actually making the scene brighter. It's trying to get a good exposure in a really dark situation.
Ah.
So it's actually much brighter there than it really was.
Got it.
Now, I only applied one effect to that. That's not HDR or anything like that. I only applied one effect, and I'm going to ask Catherine to guess what it was.
Oh, no.
It does look like HDR.
I mean, it's a plug-in from Nick Software.
I don't know what effect that is. Is it? Wait. Total contrast.
Yes. Yes.
Ding, 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 ding. Total contrast. She got it.
Pro Roller One, courtesy of Catherine's website. No, so that's the production picture. Now, do you see how this storm is moving in?
Yeah.
And there's a gentleman holding a steel pole.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
This was not a good idea. So this is a true story. Turn off the camera, and we're walking back. We're kind of hustling back to the base, because the base commander literally called and said, okay, guys, this horrendous storm is moving in. Let's go back to the base. We start rolling back, and we're rolling this thing as thunder and lightning is coming in. And
boy.
All of a sudden, listen to this, the flash fires. it goes flash, and then we hear, and the thunder actually triggered the flash. And we ran screaming into the hangar. And as soon as we got to the hangar, it just absolutely let loose. It was one of the worst storms we had in years. But so that's the real story.
Picture.
There is a bit of Photoshop I need to tell you about. So I told you I did apply the tonal contrast filter, which did make it grittier. But do you see the three guys in the very back? They're sitting on top of the helicopter.
Yeah.
I had to go in and lighten their faces up a little bit. All three of those
guys.
They were
a little dark.
Okay. Those are the three guys. Everybody else was very well lit, but those three guys way back in the back, I just had to lighten their faces up just a little bit.
Are you doing most of this in Photoshop or in Lightroom?
Well, this was in Photoshop because all I really did was, and I hate to make it sound so easy because I want to make it sound like I'm really good, but I just opened it up in Photoshop, ran Nick Color Effects Pro, lightened the three guys' faces, save as JPEG. So
I'd like to make it sound like a shot.
I'm much better than that, but unfortunately.
Well, come on. The composition's amazing. The choice, everything. It's amazing.
Well, you know what? This is the composition trick is one from one of my books. I wrote this series of books called The Digital Photography Book. I didn't mean to plug it today, but hey, I just did.
Go ahead, Scott.
Thank you. Well, you know, the three of these books. But in one of the books, I talked about shooting groups. And I said, if you have a large group of people, you know, put them in mini groups, like put three over here or two over here. And as we're now, Brad is with me on the shoot. As we're putting these guys together, they're looking at us like, why are we over here? Shouldn't we be all together? I'm like, no. You three guys over here.
Right.
You four over here. You guys up on the helicopter. And they're really looking at me like, and then they saw the production shot, and then we're like, okay, where do you want us to stand?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's a little trick right there. So when you're on a shoot, as soon as you get a shot that looks really good,
unclump them.
Show your subject and go, ooh, and they go, hey, now we'll do whatever you like because we can see it looks good. So in this case, unclumping them works. And so with a big group like this, that's, I think, why the shot really works. And, you know, I did position myself so that blade would be up there. I thought it was kind of dramatic. And I shot this with a 14-millimeter lens, so it's very wide angle.
Right. Yeah, I love the blade. The blade really does give you some great dynamic feeling in that picture.
Definitely. Yeah. But I mean, you know what it is? It's like a lot of outdoor shoots. A lot of it was luck. If those clouds had not been behind there, believe it or not, even though I know that this is an artistic shot, it was taken for my portfolio and for the guys. It wasn't for like a newspaper or magazine. I still won't add clouds to a shot that weren't there. I'll take stuff away.
Good for you.
No problem. In fact, there were probably a few things here on the ground that I removed, a couple little things. There was some spots or some specks that I absolutely removed. I have no problem removing them, but I feel very weird about adding things in there. Yeah, can I grab that? Oh, look, my book just appeared on the set. Wow, I can't believe that happened.
You just asked me. I have them all on the shelf here. I'm a huge fan.
So there's this is volume two of the book.
Classic.
And then inside there's a little thing called Tips for Posing Group Portraits.
Yeah.
Come on, right there in the book. So that's kind of it right there. And look,
Scott's
other
best.
Things.
Scott, you're fantastic. ScottKelby.com. Scott Kelby's Photoshop Insider. You want to know about his gear? We don't have to query him. He's got it all listed on the site right here, so you can find out all the stuff he shoots with, a broad variety of things, including the lights, the soft boxes, everything that you want to know about Scott's stuff. And don't forget KelbyTraining.com.
Don't forget Kelby
Training. Don't forget it. It's a great site. And boy, man, I now know why all the production value is so good there. You guys, you blow my mind.
My mind's just already blown.
You're amazing, Scott. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, it was an honor.
Thank you,
Scott. Really, really a lot of fun. Thanks.
Yeah.
Catherine, so great getting to meet you
so good.
Via Skype. And thank you guys for having me on. You guys are the greatest. Leo, you were such a gracious gentleman.
When you showed me up like that, I was real gracious.
Oh, come on.
You should have seen me grinding my teeth. No, I'm impressed.
He was smiling, beaming,
I was beaming.
Good job. For you guys.
That was about the coolest thing we've ever had happen on Twit. He says, well, let me show you. He gets up. There's a model in the freaking studio.
I know.
There's always a model standing there.
You're so great, Scott.
Just right by your desk.
Yeah. You're so great. We will have you back very soon. And again, Scott's books, Scott's website. Magazine 2, the National Association of Photoshop Professionals and Photoshop User Magazine. Thank you so much for being here, Scott. We really appreciate
it. Many thanks. My pleasure.
Oh, man, it's great.
Yes.
I'm going to let Scott go, but we have one more bit of business to do, which is to announce our winners in Mostly Photo Adventures contest. Actually, is it fair to call it a contest? I don't know if it's a contest or just a chance for you to take more pictures, but we always like to see all the pictures. If you have been to our Flickr group, you know there's some really great ones there. The best thing to do probably is to go to mostlyphotoadventures.com. We will get that site renamed. I asked him to rename it, but I guess it didn't happen yet. We're transitioning.
Like to keep you guys confused.
Yeah. Well, it's confusing the heck out of me. Click the link for finalists to see who the finalists are for week 7. And some cool animal shots. Let's see who our winners were. Are you ready? Did you pick these? Or these are from the Twitter, I think.
Yeah, we have
Twitter.
Oh,
they don't have the winners yet.
No, they're not posted. Go back to the finalists.
Okay, because you know who they are, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. So we're a little behind on the website.
So we have
a
winner, and we have an honorable mention.
Okay. So here they are. We had Marion, did a really great shot of, looks like an Irish setter. I'm not sure. No, that's a bloodhound, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, great shot there. This is a fine shot of a squirrel looking straight at you. That's from MJ Squire Photography. And then this was my favorite from Josh Duffy Photo. Just because that kitty is such a sweet little kitty, you can't fast asleep. So, all right. Catherine Hall.
All right. So
announce our wieners.
So, our winner was... Can we pop it back up? So
yeah, just tell me what it is. I don't know yet.
Oh.
I'm waiting. I'll pop it up the minute it...
The dog.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Marion's Bloodhound. And why did you like that shot?
Actually, what really got me was the motion within the dog and just... For bloodhounds, one of the distinguishing factors is obviously their ears. And having that accentuated, and it just was a beautiful shot. Really well done.
An honorable mention?
The angle of it was really well done.
It is, yeah.
So that was our winner. And then our honorable mention is the squirrel.
See, the one I liked didn't even get anything. So I'm going to give it Leo's award, but you get nothing for that. And you liked the squirrel because?
That's really hard. To get a shot like that.
Know how hard that is.
I'm thinking to myself, how long do you have to watch the squirrel? Okay, yes, is that Scott laughing in the background? He knows.
He's not allowed to laugh.
Anyway, that's a really difficult shot, and I think it's
honorable mention.
Definitely acknowledge that. Very great composition, incredibly sharp, and just beautiful image.
Yeah, so. But congratulations to our winner, Carrie Marion. A $100 Amazon gift certificate going out to you. And we thank you so much for that. And Catherine Hall, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you. So great to be here.
It is great. Great to have you doing this show.
So excited.
We have some great photo. Do we have a photographer set for next week? Or do we? Is it a mystery?
Not yet. It's in the works. But they're going to be great. We have some great options.
I looked at the list of the people that you want to talk to, and they are awesome. Yeah. So I'm very, very excited.
Very exciting guests.
Yeah. So check it out. And by the way, I didn't get to, I should have, and I forgot to, for our Netflix pick. Let me just throw this in at the end here. We were talking about Netflix streaming, and this is the pick, your pick, National Geographic, The Photographers.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know this was on here. You could watch this instantly.
One of my favorite photographers, Steve McCurry.
Oh, love it. So there's more than one. It's a series.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great.
That's his picture on the front.
Yeah, that's that famous Afghan girl, yeah. That is Netflix.com/twit. We thank both of our sponsors.
I wonder if Bruce Gale's in there. Could be.
He's a National Geo photo guy.
35 years.
Yeah. Thank you, Catherine Hall. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you next week on Twit Photo. Bye-bye, everybody. Hey, before we go, part of what we love to do on the Twit Photo Show, I hope we can do some more of these, is get out there, meet the audience. Would you be willing to do that?
Yes, I would.
Have a little adventure on the way. We had three photo walks with Lisa Bettany recently. They were really a lot of fun. And I know I learned something. I was on the Vegas walk. It was just great. So maybe kind of as a way of saying thank you to Lisa and bon voyage. And thank you to all of you who showed up at the photo walks. We've got a little video that we put together of our photo walks. And thanks, by the way, to Ford, which sponsored these photo walks. And the 100% reinvented 2011 Ford Explorer. And here you go. Here's a little bit of... some of the best parts of the photo walks, the last three photo
Welcome
walks we did.
Welcome, everyone, to the very first Mostly photo walk. This is kind of a cool shot. When you're trying to create, like, kind of an interesting picture, try to look for things in the foreground. What I like to do with architecture is try to get, is instead of shooting, like, right where I am, like, to get low and crouch and sort of get... you know, more an upwards perspective, and you've got the guitar guys. If you have a longer lens, you can like kind of be a little bit more, like a little bit more stealth about taking people shots. It is legal to take pictures of people in public.
Well, here we are. You brought us somewhere very special for our photo walk.
We are actually in front of the Bellagio Fountains in Las Vegas, and we've got an amazing crew of photographers here.
Vegas was a good choice for a photo walk. There's a lot. There's no end of things to take pictures of.
Stormtroopers. Wait.
Yeah.
How often do you just
You guys just hanging out.
You got stormtroopers. You got the stone man here. There's a Hello Kitty. And over there, there's a woman who's offering pictures with a real live rabbit.
I love how you're in the shot. Just...
That's it from Vegas.
Thank you.
See you, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. See ya.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the New York Mostly Photo Walk. You wanted to get sort of the whole scene in here with the buildings. You're not going to be able to get all that.
All right.
Or you're really going to have to be, with a fixed lens, you really have to move your body.
Okay.
I think when you're dealing with glass, there's always the potential of either getting reflection of a building off of it, so you can see that the plaza is reflected off of this side, which looks kind of cool. Little horsey. He seems really tired. Poor little horsey. With the sun, you have harsh shadows, but this, we have a nice balanced light. And we also have raindrops, and I actually usually add raindrops with a spritzer, but I don't have to do that today because we've got raindrops. Right now, I'm just gonna shoot in HDR because I can't get enough light. Nice, yeah, it's the only way to go. So this way, you're getting his butt. Well, we've been walking for hours, and we've had an amazing photo walk here in New York City. What an amazing day. Yay!